This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Caroline and Uma. Titian Budaya is a culture season of Singapore and Malaysian arts, marking 50 years of friendship between the two countries, presented by the Ministry of Culture, Community and Youth Singapore and supported by the Ministry of Tourism and Culture Malaysia. It will be showcasing the creative talents of Singapore and Malaysia with a three-month-long program from November to January, from traditional orchestral sounds to indie music and acoustic beats, photography to installation art and video works, animation, shorts, feature films. Titian Budaya is providing an opportunity for deeper understanding of Malaysia and Singapore's cultural diversity through arts and culture. To talk to us all about it, we're joined by Goh Cheng Lee, creative producer for Titian Budaya, and Tang Fun Quen, art curator for Titian Budaya. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, tell us first how Titian Budaya came about.
Well, it was about a year ago that I was approached by the Ministry for Culture, Community and Youth to put together this project. So it's taken us about a year since then. You know, we said, yes, of course, you know, we'll do it. And then it's and then I pulled in Fu Quen to join me on this venture. And then it's been a year since we've started planning this, coming to Malaysia, coming to KL, meeting artists. And then now we are at the point that we are ready to launch.
So it's a three-month-long program, if I'm not mistaken, and it takes place both in Singapore and Malaysia?
This primarily takes place in KL. We've had a number of other celebratory events in Singapore, of course, with the SG50 celebrating Singapore's 50th anniversary. Yes, so this is a special project where we felt that, you know, it would be great to celebrate this also with Malaysians, coming together with Malaysian artists, Malaysian partners to present a festival in KL.
Fantastic. Fung Quen, you know what's very interesting? We're neighbours, we're such close neighbours, with such close ties, and yet there's so little cultural collaboration between Malaysia and Singapore. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, I don't have an easy answer for that, but certainly...
give us a hard one.
Well, certainly when doing the research, we figured that we should not assume we know what Malaysians would know. And so in that research, we asked our colleagues, professionals and artists, what they would like to see from Singapore that they imagine is happening there or they have heard about. And based on this research, therefore, we realized that actually the curiosity extends across a number of art forms, and hence the scale of the event really spans from cinema to visual arts to performance to even the bazaar.
Did anything from the research surprise you, things that were completely unexpected? Because we talk a lot about similarities that we have as two nations, but, you know, I'm keen to know about the differences as well.
The curiosity mainly came from Malaysian colleagues who said they didn't quite know exactly what is happening now in Singapore. In the visual field, for example, some of our colleagues dated their knowledge to only the Nanyang style, the art movement. And for that raised quite an alarm bell for us that we must then present what is exactly now. And for the visual arts exhibition, I decided that it's important to showcase the post-1965 generation. So as a kind of update, from 65 to now, what the artists are really looking at and what kinds of expressions they are engaged in. And out of this, then we decided as well that we will present the more cutting-edge mediums such as video art and conceptual photography and performance that's within the visual arts expression.
Yeah. Cheng Lee, are we and our Singaporean brothers and sisters, are we channeling the kind of same issues in our art, same frustrations, same concepts, or are there more distinct differences?
Well, first I'd like to go back to the earlier question. I think there actually has been quite a lot of cross-cultural cooperation and collaboration in the arts, especially in the field of theatre. You know, for a number of years now, there have been regular exchanges, Causeway Exchange, theatre especially, that, you know, we've seen Malaysian artists, theatre makers, you know, presenting their work in Singapore.
Yeah.
And vice versa, you know, Singapore companies presenting their work here. So definitely there has been quite, I feel, a long-standing, you know, sense of coming together between artists in Singapore. But I think what we found is that there are new, you know, certain areas that have been relatively new here, like as Fu Quan saying, photography, music especially, you know, that we felt that can be further explored with our presentation in Titian Budaya. In terms of the...
The things we're expressing. The
Well, yes, I think there are a similar interest in history, in, you know, kind of stories coming out from, you know, Singapore, Malaysia. So I think there's quite a certain confluence of interest between the artists of both countries.
Would you agree with that, Fu Quan? I mean, from what you've seen in curating this exhibition?
Oh, yeah. In formulating the exhibition, for example, if we could take the exhibition as a kind of a micro example of the whole Titian Budaya event, I discovered that in my talks with the artists and also from my research that there's certainly areas where both sides of the causeway artists are exploring. So in this exhibition, for example, then it came up that I have to divide the show into three sections because there's a group of artists harnessing or investigating landscape, nature. Hence the section on nature. And then, of course, there's also pop culture. There's also contemporary living cultures which form the basis of inspiration for some artistic expressions. And hence, I have a section on culture. And this, for example, celebrates the commonality or the common experience of the Golden Age cinema, of the Malayan cinema, with P. Ramlee. And so this, such an epoch has been taken as inspiration by artists who reinvent some of the, I mean, like Amir Mohammed and Lisa Mansour have made a kind of contemporary take on P. Ramlee's and also the early Malay films, stills, you know, extracting stills from these films and remaking it into a pop poster. So this, in a way, constitutes what I think is cultural section. And of course, then when we talk about post-65, we are really talking about both countries in that moment of forming a national identity. And of course, with that formation of national identity comes with a whole set of symbols and you know, visuality that informs the making of a new identity. So in this section, therefore, of the nation section, we have artists who are contemplating on what are some of these processes, the visual processes of consolidating and one's national identity.
Well, certainly a familiar narrative.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Goh Ching Lee and Tang Fu Quan. They are the folks behind Titian Budaya, which is Bridging Culture Through Arts, Culture and Heritage. It's an exhibition that's going to be taking place. Actually, it's a 3-month-long event that's going to be taking place between Singapore and Malaysia. More after this. You're listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. Good evening. This is The Evening Edition. Caroline and Uma with you. Today, we're talking to the folks behind Titian Budaya, which is a culture season of Singapore and Malaysian art, marking 50 years of friendship between our two countries. I'm joined by Goh Ching Lee, creative producer of Titian Budaya, as well as Tang Fu Quan, who's the art curator for Titian Budaya. So the art culture of both countries, it's quite different, I feel. I mean, we're exposed to different elements. How would you guys define the arts culture of Singapore and the arts culture of Malaysia?
Well, in Singapore, there over the last 15 or 20 years, I think there's been a lot of growth in the arts infrastructure. You know, there are many art centres, big and small, museums, galleries that opened. And also there's been a phenomenal growth in festivals. You know, we talk about the festivalization, you know, in Singapore. You know, and so also a growth, significant growth in the number of artists and especially young people who are now really interested and practicing in the arts. So I think, you know, we are, you know, we have seen such a great interest now in the arts. And I think a lot of it has been, you know, made possible also with support from the National Arts Council, from the Ministry, from the Singapore Tourism Board, you know, many agencies in Singapore getting together to generate, you know, this, making Singapore a lively place.
It's a very vibrant culture.
Yes, vibrant culture.
So, I suppose in comparison, if you look at Malaysia and, you know, our growth, would you say perhaps it's been a little bit more organic, and what kind of impact that has had on the scene?
I think it's also... I think arts, by its nature, has to grow organically. So I think that's also the situation in Singapore, you know, that it starts from the artists first, you know, and then they, you know, have the recourse to seeking support from different agencies in Singapore. In the case of Malaysia, I've seen that also, you know, tremendous growth in Malaysia of festivals, of people involved in arts and culture. And... it's been a number of years since I've been back to KL, and recently, having been back here for Titian Budaya, I've been quite astounded by, you know, the number of people who are involved in arts, heritage, young people especially, you know. And so I think it's especially, that's why it's such an important time for us now to come together for, you know, this series of events under Titian Budaya.
It sounds more similar than it is different, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. Actually, talk to us about that, because, you know, you talked about the festivalization of Singapore. There are tons of stuff going on. There's the Biennale, there's the Singapore Writers Festival.
There's a Georgetown Festival here.
There is.
And in KL, there's been the Jazz Festival, Arts Festival.
So talk to me about how perceptions towards these things have been on the ground. How are Singaporeans reacting to the festivals in Singapore? I mean, we have a pretty good idea as to how Malaysians are reacting to what's going on here, but what's it like in Singapore?
I think there's very strong support overall. I think we see, you know, more young people, families coming to support arts and culture in Singapore. I think there's been a complete mindset change. You know, in the past, where people think, or parents think, that, you know, the arts is something that's not for my child, I think that's completely changed. There are many art schools, arts colleges now compared to, say, even 10 years ago. There's a conservatory, there are two, three arts colleges. So, I mean, the landscape has completely changed. I mean, changed quite significantly in Singapore.
Phung Quyen, you look like you had something to add to that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you're asking about, you know, the rate of development. I think in both countries, it's been significant. Since I was already in the 90s coming to observe what is happening in contemporary theatre and visual arts in Kuala Lumpur. And I have to report that in both countries, it's clear that there is... greater sense of participating in globalization. Mm. So that we are not simply, you know, engaged within our local or national context, but to think of how our expressions are engaging in a wider sphere of what we can say of capital and globalization. So then, you know, seriously, it's an interesting phenomenon that could indicate that, yes, artists and or citizens have more to say today, but it's also the structures of consumption and production that that are leading or also encouraging our artists to go forth.
Yeah. Accessibility, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, of course, at the end of the day, we would like to think, as organizers, that our first stick is really listening and following the artists and what they have to say. And if it's a very urgent and significant statement they're making, we would be more than happy to present what would be the most sophisticated and the most articulate generation of youngsters who dare call themselves artists. Yeah.
funding. Let's talk about funding. You mentioned the NAC. The Singapore, I was recently at the Singapore Writers Festival, and the folks there were telling me about, you know, I mean, how generous the NAC is, not just with Singaporean writers within Singapore, but actually even funding Singaporean writers to go out into the world and promote their art elsewhere. Yet, the Singaporean writers I speak to seem to have this really mixed relationship with funding. On the one hand, they're quite, you know, they're quite happy because it lets them do their job and or do their practice their art without having to worry about their rice bowl so much. But on the other hand, you know, the funding is from the government. So, you know, even though there doesn't seem to be any explicit restrictions on it, they still feel somewhat restricted. So, I mean, talk to me about that relationship, because we know nothing about that kind of thing in Malaysia. It just doesn't happen all that much.
Well, then you are talking about various kinds of funding. Mm-hmm. There's institutional, governmental funding. There's also private philanthropy. I think because we've been in the arts field for a number of years, I can only speak for myself. I would not be so direct to say that all governmental support is rosy. Obviously, it comes with, you know, certain restrictions, as we understand. And for private money, it's sometimes existing more vibrantly in contexts where institutional support is lacking. And that could also actually really promote a more organic and more, you know, a situation where what is necessary gets supported. So, you know, it's really, you know, it's for us not a which is better situation. It's just very much on, I think across the board, more money would, coming from various sectors, even the commercial sectors, in order to push the production of art making, it can only be good. Diversity can only be leading us to a more open future.
And it forces the artist himself to kind of navigate this very this governmental versus commercial interests as opposed to your art itself, right? It's a fascinating.
I mean, the more vast the landscape of possibilities, the more diversity can exist. So in this way, I think in Singapore, we have also an increasing number of philanthropists who are, you know, who are running their own funding systems. And for the artists, they have to be very clear, you know, at what point they would like to apply for government funding, or at what point they would like to even sometimes, you know, now you have online, you can do your own crowdfunding. So there are just more avenues. And, you know, I think it would not be very fair to only read Singapore as only institutional and its funding systems. Actually, there are a lot more other options that are not are not reported in the media, or are not, you know, kind of celebrated enough.
Just not given enough attention. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Tang Fung Quen and Goh Cheng Li. After this, we're going to be asking them about the Titian Budaya program and just what's in store for Malaysians. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. Good evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition. Caroline and Uma with you. We're talking today to the folks from Titian Budaya, Goh Cheng Li and Tan Fung Quen. They're here telling us about the program. They've organized this wonderful program. It's an arts collaboration between Malaysia and Singapore running from November to January. There's tons of stuff going on. We've been speaking about the state of arts in Malaysia and Singapore. Let's talk about what you have in store for us over these next 3 months. So what's going on? I mean, visual arts aside, you know, there's music, there's movies, there's bazaars, there's tons of stuff. Tell us.
Yeah, there are, I think, more than 50 over events in the next 3 months.
Wow.
And we've been talking about the, you know, Fu Quen curating the art exhibition in Publica. But in addition to that, there is a bazaar, you know, at Publica, which features, you know, Singapore makers, you know, a whole troop of Singapore makers, about 50 of them coming to Malaysia, sharing the space with Art for Grabs, which I understand is, you know, one of Malaysia's, you know, very popular arts art bazaar.
Yeah, it's fun. It's been going Singapore on for years.
And and Malaysian makers, you know, so it's a community of, you know, very young creatives, you know, people with a lot of ideas, ingenuity, coming together for this arts bazaar. And in addition, there's also a live music showcase that will run from, you know, from the late afternoon till late at night. You know, it will feature bands from Singapore, as well as we've specially invited Liana Fizi and her band to join us, you know. And so I think it's going to be a complete kind of carnival festival atmosphere in Publica this weekend.
Yeah, well, I understand it must be difficult to pick favourites, like picking favourite children. What are the highlights that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, a very exciting event coming after Publica is Titian Budaya Night, you know, which is a cross-cultural celebration of our heritage, contemporary music, at the Dewan Philharmonic Concert Hall on the 8th of December.
Oh, wow.
And that brings out the Singapore Chinese Orchestra, who will collaborate with, you know, a dalang from Kelantan.
Wow.
Wayang kulit with Chinese orchestra. Jazz with Chinese orchestra, with Jeremy Montero performing the jazz piano with the orchestra. And also we have Taufik singing songs of P. Ramlee, transcribed for the Chinese orchestra, you know. So we're going to get like pop, jazz, traditional wayang kulit with the Chinese orchestra in one single evening.
Oh, wow.
And I think, okay, that's pretty cool.
That's incredible. Yes,
and I think we haven't really seen even this, you know, seen this in Singapore. So we're very delighted to be able to bring this, you know, to KL.
Wow.
Yes.
Fu Quan, besides your visual art stuff, what are you excited about to catch over the next 3 months?
I think it's important to hear from colleagues and artists, and also people working in the community sectors. And so I'll be quite excited by the fact that we are in fact having a lot of talks in this weekend and the following weekend, and also on the 12th of December. So a consecutive 3 weekends, we have planned for various stakeholders from the arts field, and also from arts or community engaged practices, to come together to brainstorm, to talk about what the situation, and to share ideas. So so on the 12th of December, for instance, we are collaborating with My Performing Arts, the Borak art series, where we will have quite a number of people over an afternoon. Three panels looking at art practices or social practices that cross borders. How to tell stories, that cross borders, and also how to engage with new communities in building new sense of home and hope. And then on the 28th, we have a special screening of a film, followed by experts of contemporary art field from Malaysia talking about the development of the contemporary art sectors in both countries. And then, of course, this coming weekend, within the SG Makers and Art for Grabs, there's a whole slew of talks by makers themselves who are so excited that finally they could, get together here, and also talking about hopes for the future, how to stimulate, how to make more makers. You know, this I think is that kind of sharing and strengthening that we are really hoping to achieve through Titian Budaya.
There was one thing I was looking at which looked pretty cool. This thing called Serunding, which is a 35-minute monologue about a Singaporean family. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, this is a play which won the competition organized by Theatre Works in Singapore. And it's a play, a community play that talks about kind of intergenerations between a between a Singapore makcik and her son, you know. So the conflict between, you know, communication between both the generations, you know, and how traditional practice and modern kind of interests, you know, kind of either collide and how it resolves itself. Yes.
Right, and it's a solo performance, right?
It's a solo performance by Adeline Mosbit, very well-known Singapore actress, and I think she's been performed in KL a number of times. So we're very happy to be able to bring this. It's a very short monologue, and it actually also takes place within the series of talks that we are organizing with MyPa.
So
we are
able to that's watch, on the 12th of December.
On the 12th of December. So we are able to talk, see the performance as well as discuss it.
And how do, and is this, are these all ticketed events? Are some of them ticketed, some of them free? How does that all work?
All the events are free except the
MPO one.
Yes, the concert at the Day One Philharmonic, as well as we also have a film festival. We're showing about 12 films over 4 days at GSC Cinemas, and that will be ticketed.
Okay, just quickly talk to us about those films. Are they a vast majority of Singaporean movies, or are they a mix of Singaporean and Malaysian movies? Are they mainstream? Are they indie?
They are mostly Singapore films. Is made up of both feature-length films as well as shorts. The shorts focus more on heritage concerns. The feature film section, we are presenting titles which have never been shown
in Malaysia.
In Malaysia, yes. What can we say? The opening film, Seven Letters, is worth mentioning. This being the year of the 50th anniversary of Singapore's independence, the ministry has specially commissioned seven film directors to make each a filmlet and strung together into a
feature.
A compendium, yeah. And this, I think, Seven Letters, it has really received very good reviews from the public and from the professional fields in Singapore. And this, we are very happy to show in Malaysia for the first time.
Wonderful.
Very cool. I mean, considering everything is so spread out over such a long period of time, how can people keep track of what's going on? Where do they go to find out about the program and the likes?
Well, we have the website to go to, www.titianbudayasg.com. So you'll find all the latest information up there. We're also very active on social media, on the Twitter, Instagram. So we would like, everyone who, to be part of that.
And for social media, for Instagram and Twitter, they just search for
TitianBudayasg? SG, yes. Okay. Yes, yeah. So, and we've had quite encouraging number of likes. Like, we have more than 2,000 people, liking the page, and I think we're expecting more. When Publica happens, there'll be just so much more involvement and engagement.
Fantastic.
Among the people who come here, yes.
Very, very cool. Goh Ching Lee, Tang Fung Kuen, both folks from Titian Budaya, they're organizing this huge cultural collaboration between Malaysia and Singapore. But first up, you can actually catch the Titian Budaya Bridging Cultures next door at Publica, 21st, 22nd November. That's this Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. There's tons of stuff going on. And it's, of course, in conjunction with Arts for Grabs as well, right? So
yes.
So it's your. I think Arts for Grabs happens 4 times a year. So it's your part of your whole Arts for Grabs extravaganza as well. So lots to see. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we hope to see you very soon.
So go check out Titian Budaya, folks. You don't want to miss it. It's all the arts and culture you can take right there in one place. This is Caroline and Uma signing off the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.